Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And welcome to the fourth installment of our recap of The End of an Era, the docuseries about the Eras Tour starring, you may have heard of her, Taylor Swift. This is our, again, fourth episode. We're well into our recaps. If you want to see our reactions, patreon.com/swiftologist for all of the tea that you need to see. And if you want to come see us on tour, we're coming to Australia in February. And we just added an extra show in Melbourne because you guys sold out the first show. So evolutionofasnake.com for tickets there. We're also coming to Brisbane and Sydney, and we would love to see you soon.
Please come. Please come.
Please come. Do not come. Please come. Please come.
No, please do not come.
You never know.
Please come. You never know.
Yeah, we're coming. We're coming. Either way. So this episode is entitled Thank You for the Lovely Bouquet. There's a lot of things going on here. A lot of things. And we start off with what is, to me, the most important thing that's happened in the entire series, which is Tortured Poets Mentioned. Tortured Poets Mentioned. We open with her recording Fortnite and sounding amazing at Electric Lady Studios in 2023. And after she sings her very serious line, she goes, because she loves it. Yes. Yes, you do.
She thought it was the greatest song ever made. And you know what? In that moment, I believed her and I said it is. Fortnite is amazing.
I'm saying it now.
I decided to say it now. Yeah,
I
said it's amazing. It's great. And everybody cheered, especially in that moment. I couldn't believe it. That was like the main thing where I was like, we're not going to get the making of Tortured Poets. Like, she's not going to mention it again. So I was really, really happy to see that. I said, thank you so much. I didn't get Chloe or Sam, but there's always next time.
Immediately burst into tears. It overwhelmed me and overcame me. Then she gets into a car and starts spilling, which is so Miss Americana coded. Like, that's where all the spillage happened in Miss Americana. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm going to get in this car. I'm going to tell you things that you thought I'd never say. And that's exactly what she did. And she says, I definitely think that writing is a form of therapy. And then we get kind of an overlay of different footage of her recording Tortured Poets. We get Who's Afraid of Little Old Me in Hudson, New York. She's like, I have to hide to do this one. I got to get out of the city. I have to go be in the forest with the witches and do some magic.
Oh, that's exactly where she needed to be. Aaron Dessner knew that. Well, that was Jack Antonoff, but Aaron Dessner too.
And she did Clara Bow there too.
Spiritually. Yes, well,
those are the witchy songs.
Well, yes, period.
And The Prophecy. I loved the clip of her doing Clara Bow, and I was really, really praying that we were going to get You Look Like Taylor Swift, but I think she knew that that would put me in the hospital.
She knew it was too powerful. She said, we'll save that for another day.
And I know it's there. Now that we know this footage exists, I need to see it in its entirety. Share it. Share fresh out the slammer. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Yeah. We saw the picture.
Oh, we need that so bad. No.
We saw the picture.
Me. I thought it was funny. I always have closed captions on, and there's a part, I think it's when she's doing, maybe, I can't remember what song she's doing, but somebody says something to her and it says assistant. It's like, that was Aaron Dessner. Assistant.
Random person.
Yeah.
So she says, every record represents something different. Tortured Poets is this purge of just like everything bad that I felt for 2 years. It was a really rough time in my life. So the songs reflect that, feeling like I'm not a person, I'm just a conglomerate, and no one sees me like a real person, especially not the men that I date. And in the whole process, just being like, nothing works. There's no one for me in the world. And then she's recording The Black Dog and she looks so sad. And Jack goes, that's the end. She goes, yeah, because I sound like I'm going to die. And she was.
And she was. Period. Very powerful statement. I love what she said about how not even the men she dates saw her as people. And it's like, she's using the plural, but I think we know who she's talking about. You turned me into an idea of sorts. Ever heard it? I've heard it. Pig.
That's kind of a theme throughout this whole episode is men who can't hang. That's what the title of this episode should have been. Men who can't hang. Crusty men who can't hang. And then that's all we get about Tortured Poets. And you know what? I cheered because I thought we were going to get nothing. So it was everything to me.
No, it was everything. And it served a purpose too. The purpose was I thought I was going to die alone. Flash 2, I met Travis Kelce. Come on! That's what happened in real life. I cheered.
It was the greatest way to get me to Tavis in the whole world. I was already automatically up, hand-harding. I had my 87 painted on my forehead. I was ready! Then we cut to Andrea, Taylor, and Tree, and Austin in her dressing room. And Taylor's sitting there in a nice, big, fluffy robe. And we're getting into the Tavis origin story, narrated by who else but Diva Andrea, who is clearly feeling blessed. It kills me because she tells a story of like seeing Travis do his spiel on New Heights, how he wanted to give her a friendship bracelet. And she immediately saw him. She was on her phone scrolling, as we all do. She saw a normal guy and was like, my daughter needs him. This, it's something that she needs. It's something a little bit different. It's blue in the hair for the Teen Vogue party. Enough of these scrubs. We need a man with a J-O-B and a purpose. And so she called up her friend or her cousin, I can't remember who, someone in their family, and was like, what do you know about this guy? And she learns he's really nice and he really loves his mom. And of course, Andrea likes to hear that. She said, ding, 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 ding. So then she's plotting and scheming. She's like, how can I get them to meet? And Taylor interjects here and says, I'd been very non-athlete because I didn't know what we would talk about, which, can I just say, everyone that was screaming, actually, you know what? I'll make this point in a minute. Let's get through what she actually said. So she says, I always wondered what I would talk about with them. And you call me up with this tone of, hey, so I know you're not going to react well to this, but there's a guy who's really cute and you got to start doing something different. So then Andrea is talking to them like they are the leaders of two nation states. He came to your show. He brought you something from your world. To me, that really says a lot. And Taylor then says on their first date that he explained football to her like violent chess, which helped her understand. And she became, her quote, I became obsessed with him and therefore obsessed with learning about football. Greatest surprise of my life. Where are all the people who were lecturing me and Madeline when we said she has, when she went to the first football game, we were like, she has no idea what's going on. We were right.
I don't know. It's really hard being right all the time. You know, it's like, I'm tired of having to.
They were saying, you know, she's watched football since she was a little girl. Wrong. Lies.
Who said that? She wore an Eagles jersey. Okay. She was from Pennsylvania.
I wore a Metallica shirt. Can't give me a song.
Yeah, I don't think it means what people think it means. I think when you wear a jersey of like a football team of this town or like city you're from or the state, it just means I'm from here. I like it here. If I showed up, you know, wearing my, you know, fucking MSU Bobcat shirt, I never went to a single game when I went to college there. But I would wear
the
shirt.
You're like, never heard of it.
I went there. Understand? I lived it. So I don't think it
meant what people thought it meant. It's not clocking to you that she's standing on, I don't do sports.
She never watched an Eagles game to completion. I made it till I was, I don't even know how, in my late 20s before I sat and watched an entire football game. I'll tell you that for free.
I never have, and I think, blessedly, I never will. But I also think that when Travis retires, Taylor will not watch football ever again. No, it'll be over for her.
Well, I think...
Well, he'll want to watch it. That's
yeah.
What he's
going to
want to keep watching it. He's going to be a commentator. It's going to be in her life.
On the TV. On Thanksgiving, the game will be on. I can assure you of that.
But she won't have to pretend to be so interested. And I cheer for her on that fateful day. She said that she's monitoring the teams, the players, their injuries. She's assessing whether someone has an Achilles or a hamstring injury. And then we get to a montage of New Orleans turned the fuck up. The Skeletons in the Eras Tour outfits was too much for me. That was scary. That scared me. I didn't like that. It made me think about things I didn't want to think about. It was scary.
I need to be there now.
We really wanted to go to New Orleans. It was my birthday on one of the Eras shows. And I really regret that we didn't go because it looked turnt.
Well, Tyler and I were like examining. We were like, we're going. And we were like really talking about it. And then we started looking up hotel prices. And like that in congruency with how much it would cost to like buy a resale ticket. And we were like, it's not happening, girls. Pack it up. I wanted to be there. It was like the soul was leaving my body with how bad I wanted to be there. But it's like you can't justify the price that was being asked. But I was seeing these clips and I was like, I would have given anything to have been there. Especially because apparently so many things happened there. So many things happened there.
This is the city of beads, too. So, like, friendship bracelet, hello. Plentiful supply. They're not running out of beads in New Orleans. You didn't make your friendship bracelets. Don't worry. They got you.
Oh, no. Yeah, I need to be there bad. So, this was kind of tough for me.
I loved the bracelets that they draped over the stadium.
Oh, it was so cute.
I loved that. I would love to have a picture in front of that.
It was so freaking cute. And I was like, who came up with that? Who decided to do that? And they were just the right size to like be so huge and so cute. I wanted to be there. It's not fair.
Travis sends Taylor a lovely bouquet, and she says he doesn't even have to sign him anymore. Yeah, thank you for the lovely bouquet. Then we cut to the dancers rehearsing, and it's kind of all of the dancers on stage. I think they're blocking one of the later numbers in the show. And then Amanda, the assistant choreographer, starts explaining to us the concept of a swing. She says at this point in the tour, it's time to start putting some of the swing dancers in, switching them around. I couldn't really tell if this was usually so on Broadway, swing dancers are there to cover if people get sick. So they learn a bunch of tracks, a bunch of different parts, and they can, at a moment's notice, just play whoever you need to play. I got the impression here that no one was sick. They were just doing it because, like, just to add a little spice, because they were getting to the end of the tour and let's do something fun, interesting. Being a swing, Taylor's also amazed by the idea of a swing, which so am I. It's a dancer who not only knows their part, but they know like up to like 4, 5, 6 other dancers' entire choreography. So that if someone gets sick or hurts themselves in the middle of the show, there's always someone that can kind of swing in and do the job, right. Which for a tour that long and with dancers, like dancers are human beings that use their legs and arms. Like they're gonna break down at some point with this many shows. Like someone's gonna get a sprained ankle, someone's gonna need to take a night off. So it's good practice to have a swing.
Yeah.
So we meet Wiley under this circumstance. Wiley with the cunty long hair. I remember him so clearly from Chicago Night One, Vigilante shit. I was like, who is that diva?
It's still so crazy to me that they wanted to cut his hair. Not on the Eras Tour, but like in general.
Elsewhere,
in his life.
Yeah.
How could you? Because like as somebody who's only encountered him on the Eras Tour, the concept of like wanting to cut his hair, it's like, it's the thing when you are at the show, you're immediately drawn to him because of what he can do with his hair. It's not the fact that he has hair. Many people have hair. It's the fact that he knows what to do with it so well. It's his X factor. It's his X factor. So I was in shock. Yeah. I was in tears almost.
Asking him to cut his hair is really like asking him to like be a lesser version of himself. And he says that as much later on. So he's dancing, and we learn that his dream, his long held dream from the entire tour, is to do Ready For It. Amanda says all the dancers love For It and the boys beg to do it. Unfortunately, it's an all female number, but he stresses that he was gagging for this tour. And he's like saying, he said that it's a monumental number, and he was right. He was right.
He's
they were
not,
acting like
not a lie has been told. He was acting like this was the lead in Chicago. He's
no,
like, I have to play Roxy. Please let me play Roxy. Yes, absolutely.
I need to be Maria on West Side Story. Like this was the epitome. It was Lea Michele trying to get the role of whoever it is in Funny Girl. Like that's what it was.
And
it
you
was
know
that
what?
Serious.
It is some of the best choreo. Like the Reputation set, in my opinion, has some of the
it's
most infallible
moment.
Choreo. It's very, very gaggy. It's just gag from the start to the finish. And what's funny is that I never really thought or like realized that a lot of rep, other than obviously like What You Made Me Do, is like all female. Like Ready For It is all female dance. I never thought about that before. And I always kind of thought, like when I was thinking about Wiley doing it and like watching the episode, I was like, you know, I don't think to do the Ready For It choreo, you have to be a female. I think you just have to have hair. Like that's all that's all that's required.
You have to give
hairology. And what does Wiley have above all else? Hairology.
Hairology.
So
it was destined.
Sense.
It was destined.
It was kismet.
So Amanda is like a champion of her dancers. It seems to me that she really wants them not only to do their jobs, but she wants them to have fun and to like enjoy what they're doing. So she says that she's going to try and put him in. She says, if the costume fits, I'm going to submit it to Taylor and management. And if it's okay, then I think he would be great for it. And it's funny to me how the entire time, like the will Taylor approve thing is like hanging over everyone's head. And then the scene of her doing it is really funny. So the other dancers are super supportive. They're gassing him up to do it. They're like sitting in the crowd, clapping and cheering. And then it cuts to Taylor talking about the idea of why, like, building up to the Wiley thing. She's like, why we don't care about whether it's a man or a woman or whoever doing a specific part. She says, with this tour, we're not trying to make any points about gender, but we just don't have any restrictions. We have guys in heels and leotards. We don't think too hard about it. And Look What You Made Me Do, women and men are in my former costumes. Like, we don't overthink it. We have fun with it. It's naturally individualistic in terms of casting. And I was like, that is so true. And I feel like this is the real work of normalization, is just making things exist without announcing them or making it a big deal or really, like, I don't know, spotlighting that you're being diverse. And I guess you can make the argument that this documentary is doing it, but it's a documentary following the tour, so whatever. But definitely, I think this is like an interesting and the most like healing approach to have, because Wiley would go on to say that it just felt normal and natural for him to do this. It wasn't like a big ask. It was just a thing.
Yeah. It was just completely normalized. Nothing. I remember, when did I notice? I think maybe it was in Chicago. I noticed that the vigilante shit dancers were not all female. And it's just like, it just was. It just totally was. And
it didn't like seem abnormal.
There's some, like the Midnight's costumes, there are some that are like very like non-binary coded. Like some of the outfits just like don't have like a gender assigned to, like, it's just like very general. As long as it matches, it flies. So it's like nothing was ever brought up in a way where it's like a big deal. It's just like, it is what it is. Anybody can be anything on the Eras Tour stage.
The non-binary Eras Tour.
Yeah, as it should be.
That's really what it was. As it should be. I also think just something else I noticed all the time. It's interesting how separate Taylor is to the rest of the tour now.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I'm sure many people want to talk to her. Many people want her energy. She needs to conserve it. But back in the day, she used to share Speak Now, a dressing room with Caitlyn and Liz, and they would do their makeup together, and like she would do her own makeup, blah, 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 all this stuff. It's interesting, like as her star has grown, like I imagine you can't as a dancer just like walk up to her dressing room and knock on the door and be like, can I come in? That's not the reality.
No, that's not what's going on. And I also think it's like, you know, the dancers are very like among each other. And I think with the Wiley scene, it's really clear because it's like the dancers are gassing him up. They're all talking about it. They're all like in the locker room, wherever it is, like, yeah, yeah, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. And then it like cuts to Taylor and she's just like alone in some couch somewhere. And I also think that like, I mean, Taylor, like she's got to do her stuff. Like she's got to do her surprise song. Like you can't be like, knock, knock, knock. Wiley's here and he wants to talk to you about doing Ready For It. No. She's doing her surprise, busy. She's got her own stuff she's got to worry about just like they do. They've got to get their choreo down. They've got to do this. They got to do that.
I think it also helps her be professional and also be warm and friendly. So it's like when she has an after party for the tour and she invites everyone, right. Then we hang out, then we have fun. But at work, it's like she's still the boss. Like she'll come over and say hi when you're doing rehearsals, but you're not like kikiing with her, asking about her day. You're not going to like get lunch with her. Like that's not the vibe. And I think that's correct because she is the boss after all. And she needs to like keep a kind of a sense of remove from the rest of the camaraderie. So then we're getting this like scene of Wiley trying on the costume and he fits and the crowd goes wild. And then it's, oh, what's Taylor going to say? There's this big buildup as to whether she's going to give the okay or not. And it's so funny to me because they walk into the room with a phone and they're talking to her and she's like, oh, look at my flowers from Travis. Oh my God, I love my boyfriend. I love my boyfriend. And then they're like, hey, you know, Taylor, you know that Wiley's dream is to do Ready For It. And she kind of goes like, what do you mean?
it's like another day
at the Eras Tour factory. She's like, what do you mean it's his dream to do Ready For It? They were like, it's his dream to dance Ready For It. She's like curious. She's like tilting her head. She's like, huh. And then she goes, okay, well, does he have wardrobe? And then someone hands her a phone and she looks at the choreo and she gags and she says, well, if it fits, then yes, absolutely. That's amazing.
As she was literally like, not a big deal at D-G-A-F. All. Does the costume fit? Does he know the choreo? Then get him on the stage. See if I care.
Doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. I just need someone serving cunt to my left. That's all I need. And that's exactly what she got. So then we're back in her dressing room on a different day and she's having trouble with her piano. I was like, isn't there someone around that can fix this for her? Why are we sending a piano that doesn't work into Taylor Swift's dressing room?
Everybody's asking the question. Where's the respect?
Where's the respect? So she says, muscle memory is the first step in brain atrophy for me. That's why I love the acoustic set, being challenged to do different things every night. I think this reminds me of something that she said in Miss Americana before the VMAs, where she was like, don't get dead face. I think she gets dead face when she's done something too many times, which is kind of what she was hinting about Singapore. Again, the Singapore lashings have never stopped. But the acoustic set, and I think deliberately introducing the surprise song mashups, it forces her to like engage her brain in a way that's not just playing a song all the way through. Like I see why she did them because she needed to keep it interesting after having to do. There isn't room for her to do stuff on. Even if she wanted to do different stuff every night on the Eras Tour, it's so tightly choreographed, as you mentioned in episode 3, that it wouldn't be possible to just like, ooh, I'm going to go to this part of the stage instead of this part of the stage. No, because you're going to get hit by a block.
No, idiot, because you're going to get
decapitated.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that area for her. So then Andrea is sitting there. She starts to work out the surprise song mashup. And Andrea's sitting there like this with her chin in her hand, looking at her daughter like, this is Mozart. She's like, this yeah. is the most beautiful, gorgeous creature that I've ever seen. And she was right. She was right. Taylor starts to sing, hits different. And then another montage of her talking. Preparing for the acoustic set is something I do because I don't want to just wing it. I want there to be a sense of quality. It has to be purposeful and well executed. It's always a moment I'm somewhat unprepared for because I'm rehearsing it a few times in the dressing room and then bringing it on the stage. There's an element of detail that goes into it. What about when you sang Gold Rush for the first time?
Yeah, I think that haunts her. And we didn't see it again. She mashed it up later on, quality? I think, but we didn't see it again. She learned that night. There was another one. Was it Call It What You Want? That was like really rough. I can't remember. It was Gold Rush and another one. We were like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. But for the most part.
When she was doing the one song only, there were a couple where it was like, ooh.
Maybe that's why she started doing it. She was like, you know, there's some parts of these songs that I don't want to sing. So I'll just mash it up so then I can skip them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so then they hit us with the hits different Welcome to New York transition on the piano. And she was winning me over. I was like, this actually sounds kind of good. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And she says, there were points in this tour where it was the only thing keeping me going in my life. But there were never points in the tour where I thought, you know what? I want to quit the tour because it's hard. No. My personal life was hard. I went through 2 breakups in the first half of this tour, and that's a lot of breakups. The show was what gave me purpose and what I could use to get me out of bed. The tour has never been the hard thing. It's the thing that allowed me to find purpose out of the shit that was going on. Nen will let you down. The Eras Tour never will. And I knew a TikTok sound was born.
The truest words ever spoken. And the Eras Tour never did let me down. Every time I went.
Not once.
It was mystical, magical, moonbeam ice cream, jumping off of high things, et cetera, et cetera. It was everything that needed
Happy,
to be.
Happy, free, confused, and lonely. That's what it always has been, except not lonely. I never felt lonely at the Eras Tour.
I always felt like I'm surrounded by people who are powerful. You know, like the girl in front of us on London Night One who reeked like Wonderstruck. I was like, this is the most powerful woman I've ever met in my life.
Everyone around me was making me feel like I'm the man.
Yeah, you're making me feel like I can do anything.
That's how I felt
the only people
time.
Who made me feel like ever at any Eras Tour experience that made me feel like I can't do anything were the Gracie stands behind us at London Night 2. Night 3, excuse me.
When we were shitting all over their parade. Filling the room with negative energy.
I had my reaction. I had my reaction, okay? And they had
theirs. I don't think they noticed.
They had their own. They were... you know how I took pictures of myself crying to Marjorie at every show? One of those girls was in the background and you could see the mascara running. I was like, she wasn't with us. She didn't know what was going on around her. Yeah.
She was down bad. But this is the first time that Taylor really acknowledges 2 breakups. And she would go on to give more tea about these foul men later on in this episode. But it's so true. The Eras Tour will never let you down. Andrea kills me as well. She is like sitting there listening to this mashup of Hits Different and Welcome to New York. And she goes, you know, it really kind of tells your story. It's so different. And when you first met, and Taylor cuts her off and goes, who are we talking about now? Andrea's like,
what are you talking about? You and Travis.
Travis, like, your boyfriend.
No.
She's like,
no.
Taylor's like, these are literally 2 breakup songs. This is a person going through a horrible breakup and they can't move on. Then they go to a big city and they find this other sense of self. And Andrea goes, I guess so.
Not in her world. Andrea said, in my fan fiction, this is about you and Travis. And I understand it in a way that you don't. And actually, I think that I get to decide what the song's about. And it's about you and Travis. So there you go. Welcome to New York.
And Taylor was like, all right. That's enough of me explaining to you what this is about. And Taylor kind of as a throwaway comment goes, she can't believe she has to convince me to be in love with someone who's good for me. And Andrea goes, it's easy about Travis. She is the biggest Tavis in the whole world.
Tavis! She has Tavis in chief. She's in the Tavis Asylum. Tavis Asylum. Mm-hmm. She can't get out.
Then when she leaves, Taylor goes, my lucky charm. I thought that was so cute. She is your lucky charm. She's always there for you. Yeah. So cute. So then we go into Travis appearing on the Eras tour. So Taylor says, Travis is a yes guy. He's up for anything. When I wrote the skit for I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, where I want to be a soldier on a battlefield and then I'm fatally wounded and I die on stage, then there's a cabaret dramatic skit where I have to immediately perk up and perform. I was like cry laughing when she explained this. I was like, you're demented. When you say it out like that, it's so
It sounds
crazy.
Really crazy. Yeah. And genius at the same time.
And genius.
Crazy and genius.
It made so much sense. But she says that when she thought of it, she always in the back of her mind thought that's where Travis would be in the show. And she said she didn't want to suggest it to him because she didn't want to scare him. And they were joking around about doing it. And it became clear to her that he wasn't joking. So she said, if you're serious, I'll send your measurements and get you a tux. And he said, put me in. Put me in, coach. And she said, the way he comes to life when the lights are brightest, the moment is never too big for Travis. She says, as a player, he can slow down time in the most stressful moments. He was the most charming, delightful performer on the stage. He was magically entertaining. She's Tavis pilled.
All the right guys promised they'd stay. Under bright lights, they withered away, but you bloom. Write it down.
But you bloom. I mean, it's true. She said, instead of you're a cowboy like me, you're an attention whore like me.
Yes, they definitely both really, really like the attention. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's something that they found that they can really bond over. And Taylor, if you think about it, think of her trajectory. I'm not saying every guy, Jake Gyllenhaal, didn't like the attention. Maddie Healy did not like the attention. Joe Alwyn didn't like the attention. It's like getting to have this person who likes to come and celebrate you to the point where he's willing to go on stage and be goofy because it's fun to him and because he wants to support you and he wants to be on the stage and like look around. That's awesome. It's awesome, especially compared to like what she's been dealing with.
But she's
the
endured.
Situations.
Some people only let us see the back of their head with a baseball cap on at the tour.
Yeah, let's talk about
you
that.
Know?
Let's bring that up. We're deep frying the turkey again tonight. Mm-mm.
Again, it has to happen. You know, the only other man I think that would have done this actually was Tom Hiddleston. He was a showgirl. He was into the pictures. He was into the attention, the I Heart TS. He wouldn't have done it with such charm and grace, but he would have done it.
He would have done it 100%. Yeah, those were the good old days, huh?
He would have gone anywhere with her.
Yeah, he would have. Literally. Selena Gomez. There was no stopping him.
There was no stopping him. So then Andrea said, he's one of the happiest people I've ever met. He brings a lot of happiness to the room. And that night, he brought a lot of happiness to the fans. Taylor says that was the loudest she ever heard the fans on the Eras tour. That's not true, Ellen.
We were there on that day. It was pretty crazy. My video is really insane. It's just me going, oh my God.
Yeah, you really lost it.
Oh my God.
We were so far away that I was like, yay. But also, I could be next door.
There's one point in my video where we can really clearly hear you say, what the fuck is going on? And I think it's so funny because I'm like, gag. And you're just like, what is this?
Because we couldn't even really see the full skit as well. So it was like, what are we looking at? It was only our second time seeing the Torture Poets set. And like, we didn't see it in a lot of detail. So, I mean, yeah, it was insane. So then we transition into hearing Wiley's story, and he talks a lot about how he felt like he didn't really fit in anywhere until he found dance, or I think he says dance found me, and we learn that he likes to dance in all different kinds of ways, and Amanda also tells us that he's a real professional. He's done a lot of tours. He's done a lot of performances, but he's sometimes struggled with being placed as a dancer, and he's rarely allowed to be wholly and fully himself on stage, especially not to do the kind of high femme performance of a song like Ready For It. And he said that Taylor's never made me cut my hair. She's allowed me to wear different eyeshadows on different nights. She's never commented. And he says that he's never been filtered as a person in how he appears on stage, and that all the other dancers feel this way too. And he said that it's empowering, it's loving, it's enriching, and it's fun.
Exactly. Exactly. I also loved what he said about how he loves to do like the male part and he loves to do the female part and he loves to combine the two. And if you think about it, like when I think about the Ready For It choreo, it is pretty femme, but it's also very like aggressive.
It's hard.
Of the bam, bam, bam. So it's like there's something tough and like masculine coded about it. It's non-binary. What do you want me
it's
to
non-binary.
Say?
It's non-binary. Reputation is getting non-binary tea.
And Wiley was supposed to be up there the whole time. He was supposed to be there the whole time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The last shows, we really missed out.
Yeah.
So then Amanda says, well, Wiley, I think you should just practice it again because you're doing it tonight. And then Taylor gives another talking head. She has another talking head being like, he can really channel that sexy femme side of himself. And she found it really refreshing. So she was, some might say, ready for it.
She was ready for it. Everybody was ready for it. When Kim goes, do it for the gays! Exactly.
Exactly.
No, exactly. Do it for the gays. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then Taylor is talking to Travis on the phone about her bit with Sabrina, which is not as genius as she thinks it is. She thinks that this is like the best gag in the entire world, and it is just not that interesting. She's going to call Sabrina and say, hey, she's going to sing a little bit of Espresso. And then everybody knows immediately what's going on. So there's no need to do a surprise. And she goes, are you here? And then Sabrina comes up. Wow. Genius.
She really, when she thinks she's being funny, I can imagine what her SNL table read writing sessions were like. She's like, this is the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life, guys.
Ever host SNL ever again. I'm serious. Perform, no, seriously. Please don't host. So then Taylor kind of gives us a little talking head talking about Miss Sabrina Carpenter. And now this is relevant. What kind of goes unsaid, well, she does say it, that Sabrina was on the Eras Tour. And because, partly because of the Eras Tour, Sabrina was launched into kind of a different stratosphere of success and fame. And one might wonder, would Sabrina have had the door open to working with Jack Antonoff without the Eras Tour? One might wonder that.
One has to ask that question. And I think one was watching the documentary and one thought it was being implied. But one noticed that it was never said. But one noticed that it was implied. One noticed it.
One noticed that it was implied. And she talks about how Sabrina's rise is like the dream scenario for how you want your career to go as an artist. And then we see her in the dressing room with who else but our diva, Sabrina Carpenter. When Taylor starts singing Espresso, you can see on Sabrina's face that she is completely gagged. She's having a pinch me moment. She's not getting on stage to do White Horse.
Mm-mm. She knows the words. She knows the words 100%.
She knows the words. And she's being invited up to do her big, massive hit that she didn't have the last time she did a special guest appearance. So Sabrina's in between tour stops and Taylor says, is this child abuse to ask her to perform on her one day off? I know she's 25, but still, Tay daughter.
Tay daughter. No, she's doing, this is the same exact behavior of like when she wore the giant horseshoes to go out with Sabrina in her little kitten heels. It's like child abuse.
That's my baby.
She's so little.
Then they are practicing together and they start doing this busted harmony. The whatever harmony Taylor has come up with for Espresso, it sounds horrible.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think that Sabrina and Taylor, I don't think that their voices sound bad together, but it's like, this is a moment where I think we could have had a third person in the room who could say, let's work on this harmony a little bit because you could sound good. This is a mess.
This is a mess.
And like Sabrina does not know, like it's so gaggy. She's just like, doing whatever Taylor says. And you know what? I'll say it. Sometimes Taylor's not 100% right. I'll say it.
This is one of those times. And she explains the premise of Is It Over Now in Espresso, which she thinks really is genius. 300 takeout coffees later into Think About Me. And to be fair, I didn't put it together until she announced it to me in this Eras Tour docuseries because it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. I guess she said something about like, it's in the same key. It's in the same key. And it's like, okay, well, many things are in the same key. That doesn't mean we have to mash them up. We couldn't have come up with something a little bit different.
You have plenty of fun, silly songs.
No, there are so many songs that you could have mashed it up. Like Espresso and How You Get the Girl would be really cute.
That is
so cute. Just like bouncy, jovial. And she's
going, Espresso and I Think He Knows. She just wanted to do that. And it was so funny how she was just like screaming in Sabrina's face, doing all of it.
Sabrina was just like,
Sabrina was like, yes, I would have been like, yes,
hand hard. I love seeing Sabrina like just like casually dressed, but like full hair done. The Barbie. Hair is so perfect. Now she's like the sponsor for Redken. So it's like, you got to look like that all the time. And she does. Her hair always looks perfect.
Well, she wears wigs a lot, apparently. She revealed that recently. She wears
will
wigs.
You will wear you wear wigs?
Do you wear wigs? When
Sabrina
will you
Carpenter
wear wigs?
Wears wigs? Who told you that?
She said it herself in an interview.
I thought that she denied it.
No, she said she wears wigs. Will you wear wigs? Have you worn wigs? This can you imagine? I mean, think about the heat styling that would be required to keep her hair like that all the time. Like, she would fry her hair
off. This is shattering the illusion of the perfect hair. Wow. Okay.
It's the illusion.
Wow. You just blew my mind. Okay. It's all fake. Everything's a lie. This is like,
no, but I think it looked real to me here. It looked real.
It looks
to me.
Good. It's whether it's a wig or it is a real head of hair. It looks amazing no matter what. And you know what? We were just talking about this before we started recording. I want to wear wigs.
Yeah. Adeline is into wigs. She's ready.
I want to wear wigs. I'm interested. So maybe I'll get into that. Who knows? So Sabrina, it's no shade. It just surprised me. I'm surprised. That's all.
Madeline's going to do 2016 Kylie Jenner soon.
Pink Kylie.
Give him whiplash. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore.
We do not do that anymore.
We are not a Barb. And we're proud to say it.
We are not Barb.
We are not a Barb. Not a Barb, not a Barb.
I'm free. We're free.
So Taylor makes a point to be like, I want her to fly higher. I want to see her get bigger and bigger. And then Sabrina comes out, and the shot of her sitting under the stage is so funny to me, because in that seat, her feet only touch the ground because she's wearing these insanely high heels, but they're also see-through, so you can see her feet just sitting there. And you can see that if she didn't have those on, legs swinging like a little baby.
Poor Sabrina. Those are the vigilante shit chairs too. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine her just doing sitting. Vigilante shit? That's kind of killing me. Sabrina doing vigilante shit.
And she didn't seem nervous at all.
No.
She didn't seem even a little bit nervous. She's been on the Eras Tour stage before.
She's been on that diamond many times. Many times.
And she's been doing the Short and Sweet tour. A place I should have been. Let me tell you that. A tour I should have been
It's
still kind
of it's very sad. Couldn't go.
That's a sore spot. It's a sore spot. Yep. Then we get to see Wiley doing Ready For It. I mean, we do get to see the Is It Over Now mashup, et cetera. And it sounds just as bad on stage as it sounded in the dressing room.
Yeah. And I also, and I told this to Zach, the taking Please, 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 the chorus of it, and taking it down 3 octaves was necessary for the mashup, but it takes all the magic out of the song. The thing about Please, Please, Please that I really like is that chorus. Please, like the angelic, it's heavenly. It's dreamy and going, please, please. Like, it just completely strips it of its magic and essence. So I'm saying, of all of the people that we've seen so far, we've seen Ed. We've seen, remind me, who was the other person we saw?
Was it just Ed? We had Florence, but that doesn't really count because she didn't come up.
That's very true. So I guess Florence technically, but like of those three, the Sabrina one I feel like was the least interesting because I just feel like it never fully came together. It was fun hearing Taylor sing Espresso, like sure, but like we could have done something different and I just feel like it never came together and it kind of sounded busted, but Sabrina looked really cute. I liked her little outfit.
Taylor also, when she was in the dressing room with her, she was really giving Red era Taylor. It was something about her bangs and her makeup. Yeah. I was like, there's something Red tour about this, and that did it for me. And I personally, as a Swiftie, I just like to hear her sing Is It Over Now acoustic. She was bodying those vocals.
She was. And Sabrina was sitting there gagged. She didn't have a word to say. Just.
And so say we all. And so say we all. So then we get Wiley doing Ready For It. Everybody gags. Everybody loved. Everybody moved. There's another dancer who talks about how they understand how important it is for the audience being there and how important it is for them personally and being like, this is their moment. And everybody here is aware of that. We are, again, united in our mission and our purpose. And because of that, we give it our 1,000% every single night that we're on tour.
Yeah, 100%. And that's how it has to be. I also really liked Wiley's eyeshadow palette was a Nirvana palette from Anastasia Beverly Hills. It's like one of the worst palettes of all time.
It's like, one of the worst ones.
Well, there's multiple Nirvinas. I don't know if I was familiar with the one that he was using, but it's like I have them and I bought them because I got them on super sale. That's the only reason I bought them. Oh my God, those fucking colors do not blend. I was like, Wiley, we got to hook you up. You're going on.
Mama's got to get something different.
With Nirvana? No. Although he did look amazing. So what do I know? What do I know?
What do we know? What do we know?
What do we know?
Then we see her on the JW Marriott. That was cool to me. That was really cool. And it makes Taylor reflect that she is a 5'10 woman followed around by a 100-foot-tall monster shadow that knocks over buildings and wreaks havoc. And she says, this is what I was writing about, an anti-hero. So she sees this sign and she's like, that's how it feels. Like, I'm down here and then that's me, but it's not really me. Like, who is that? And she says, we're playing three nights in Indianapolis, and it's a few days before the election. And she says, her only comment really on it is, the one thing that I can provide is an escape where nothing can bother us for 3.5 hours. I'm glad I'll have given everyone girlhood, hope, sweat, and effort.
Exactly. And that's what the Aerosaur was. I don't remember thinking that when the Indianapolis shows were rolling around. I bet people in Indianapolis who were going to the show felt that very acutely. Like, shit, in like 4 or 5 days, I have to go vote. And this election, lest we forget, that was a shit show. I don't know if anybody remembers that. That was crazy. And I think people were feeling pretty down in the dumps about the possibility of what was going to happen and what ultimately would wind up happening. And I think Taylor's feeling that, like, what I can give people is fun and like turning it off for a second so that you can just kind of like exist in a place where the things that matter to you actually matter to everybody around you. Like, this is a space where we can all be like happy and like have fun, and girlhood matters, and like all of our experiences matter, and like the people that we put on stage, these are the people that you see, and this is what life can be. And then you leave the stadium and it's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the pop star's job, is to just give you a break from reality, lets you suspend your disbelief. Like, I don't want to go to a Taylor Swift concert and have Always Posting.
Well,
well, we wanted that because it wasn't Always Posting, and that's what the funniest thing about it was.
But yeah, I mean, the Eras Tour specifically was an escape of it. This is the future liberals want. That's what the Eras Tour was. This is the future liberals want.
And she's saying that throughout the documentary over and over.
Love wins.
I'm not one of you haters. Yeah. I am liberal. Hear me roar. So then we cut to Taylor in her dressing room saying, can I offer to Trav that he can sit with the family? And Andrea's like, yeah, I like him more than you at this point. So yes. Yes, he can be there with all his friends.
His posse, whoever that's going to be in Indy.
Yeah, he's going to be bringing a few people. It might be a lot. And Andrea's like, I don't care. Bring him in.
I don't care. Bring him in.
Andrea can get down with literally anyone. This is her domain. Yeah. She's the ringmaster of the crowd at the Eras Tour. Yep. She knows how to conduct the vibe. So then she asks, what songs are you playing today? And Taylor says, The Prophecy into This Love and Maroon into Cowboy Like Me. Diabolical, insane song selections. There's a lot to unpack there. With Travis in the audience too, there's a lot. There's a lot to think about. We get her playing a very jaunty version of This Love. And I was like, now, of all the songs we could have gotten a little clip of you singing, This Love.
This Love. Yeah, as usual. But that's what we always get.
Oh, but it's gone again. I want that.
I wanted that.
You're just about to do it.
I wanted that really bad. The Prophecy.
And they cut the cameras dead ass.
They're always cutting the cameras at the point that we want. No!
And you know who got to see it? Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby sitting there with his lanyard on the sofa being like, you don't know what's going on. You don't deserve to be here. Get out.
He doesn't even deserve it. He doesn't deserve to hear the prophecy.
Out
he doesn't.
With the dogs. Out. Yeah.
Out.
Go back to your kennel, Bing Crosby. So then it's more Tavis. She kept saying more than I thought she was going to say. I was very surprised. She said, relationships on tour have always been something I've struggled with because it always felt like the tour was taking away from the relationship. I was not able to do both and feel like I was nurturing both at the same time, even though I would try and try. Somehow there's this dynamic shift with Travis because it's shocking how many similarities we have towards our jobs and how we view each other. Then we get a montage of Travis walking through the crowd like a politician's wife. He's shaking hands. He's kissing babies. He's saying, vote for Taylor. And she continues, we both have jobs where we go out into NFL stadiums and we entertain people for 3 hours. His with more violence than mine, but he's not in heels. We've been chasing this our whole lives. It's our passion. I never thought I'd meet a guy who had that same trajectory. And I've realized with this right person, the two passions can coexist and fuel each other. Montage Powerful. Of Taylor watching a game in her dressing room. She's screaming, cheering. Ultimately, we love cheering each other on. Travis, head empty during the prophecy. Literally, she's playing the prophecy and he's like this. And she
doesn't
ends
know
with,
it.
It's rad.
He doesn't need to know it. That's the one song he does not need to know. It's none of his business.
None of his business. Nope.
Cowboy Like Me, he knew nothing. But he did understand the concept of I'm a cowboy like you and you're a cowboy like me. That clicked in his little brain. But I think he doesn't need
to
know.
In one ear, out the other, as it should. He just needs to say yes. He doesn't need to say, like, I understand.
It's like Mason saying one of his favorite songs is The Albatross. You don't know what that means.
Sure. Okay, kitten.
Say it. You don't know what it means. Yay.
Okay. Woohoo. Enjoy. So yeah, I thought that was very interesting because when we're in the last documentary we had from Taylor, Miss Americana, we're hearing her talk about tour as though it is this big burden that's keeping her from doing things that she wants to do outside of being in her career. Hint, hint. My boyfriend doesn't like it when I go on tour and he doesn't want to come with me. Reputation tour also was a lot shorter than her other tours. It was like some 50-something shows. And it strikes me that that was likely because, again, someone else had a different idea of what a tour should look like.
Right. I also kind of felt like in watching the documentary, and this was really interesting because normally it's the other way around, where like we were getting more information about Travis and like what her relationship is like with him and what she really likes about him and why this relationship is working. We got more information from the documentary than we did from the album. Normally it's the other way around. You get all of your information from the album and she doesn't usually say anything. This was like a kind of like opposite day sort of a thing where it's like, okay, I was watching the episode and I was like, now I'm really starting to see in like concrete and in so many words, like what it is that is so special to you about Travis and why this relationship is different than the others. I'm seeing it now. I didn't get that from Showgirl. It wasn't clear. And that was kind of, I think, intentional. She wanted Showgirl to be kind of like revelatory and not so like detail oriented, you know, telling the story of how we met. Like that just wasn't interesting to her. She was like, let's go tits out on Showgirl. But she really put the cards on the table on the documentary. And I was like, okay, now I get what you like about Travis, because he actually supports your life. Okay, I get it. Thank you.
I still think, you know, we could have had a little bit more of this on Showgirl and it still could have been a tits out moment.
Well, yes, absolutely. But I mean, that's getting into the weeds. It's getting into the weeds of the Showgirl problem. But you know what? I've started just saying to the masses, listen, Showgirl is probably my least favorite Taylor album.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. And the next one, I'll be clapping and cheering. So
hopefully
that's all it has to be.
Hopefully. Then she starts talking on and on about the football players. She was like, if you told me this a year ago, sorry, the football jerseys. She said, if you told me this a year ago, there'd be football jerseys at my concert, I would be like, what? But now it's every 12th person has a jersey on. The fans, this is where she started going into instructions. The fans absolutely love Travis. And I think it's because they can tell he loves them too. And all people. Okay, Travis Mandela. Travis is just very comfortable with conceptually speaking a big life because he has one. And it's not that he reluctantly has one. He's very comfortable with it. I think ultimately it's the way he treats me. It's very clear. That's one of the reasons why the fans are so in love with him, because you should be. He's very lovable. Period.
Well, they're out there. That's the thing. These people that she's talking about, they're real. The Tavises, oh, they march. They march.
She's unfortunately whipping them up into a frenzy here.
Oh, 100%. And you know what?
But she's also decapitating the Gaylers, which I appreciate.
Right. I was taking my Tavis pill. In this episode, I was taking my pills. The nurse came along, said, make sure you take your pills. I said, absolutely, yes, ma'am. And I put the pills in my mouth and I swallowed them down. I said, this is great. This is amazing. Travis Mandela, for sure.
Travis Mandela. And then she said, first of all, if you ever, it kind of wraps up with a montage of Travis looking gagged at the Eras Tour. And she says, first of all, if you ever would have told me the most meaningful relationship I would have would be with a man who said he was butthurt, I didn't want to meet him, I wouldn't have believed it. Me either.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. It keeps coming up too, the word butthurt. He said butthurt on the podcast. Oh, that was something that I forgot. They played a clip of the New Heights podcast on the episode. I was like, you know what?
No more free promo for New Heights. No more.
I was like, a lot of things I didn't mind about this episode. I was like, New Heights promo, listen. It's better than when she was getting Joe jobs. When she got Joe's job on Conversation with Red.
And this, he ruined it.
Promoing New Heights, whatever. But I did see some commentary. I think this was a Patreon comment, actually, where somebody was like, I think it's disgusting that people wear Chiefs jerseys too.
Disgusting.
And people wear Chiefs jerseys to the Eras Tour. This is the Taylor Swift show, not the Travis Kelce show. And I was like, you know what? I don't mind it. Like, I don't really care, especially men. Like, well, I don't mind men wearing them.
The boyfriends that come don't really want to be there, they need something to wear too. And isn't that better than them coming in their normal clothes? It's like a costume.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, it's like a little outfit that they can wear. Some of the girls bring your Travis too, but I feel like if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan and also, oh my God, Taylor's dating Travis Kelce now, it's like, I mean, it's fun. You get to show up to the Eras Tour in like one of your little game outfits. I don't see the problem. I don't think it's
also
disgusting.
No judging outfits at the Eras Tour. No judging.
No, this is judgment free zone. It's tacky. You can wear whatever you like. You can go as balls to the wall. You can wear your jersey. You can show up in, you know, your whatever you're comfortable in, and everybody will clap and cheer because it's supposed to be whatever you want it to be, and that includes wearing your Chiefs jersey. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. I'm saying it.
And the closing scene of this episode of the documentary is Travis getting on that pulley thing that Taylor gets on to take her away from the show. I feel so sorry for the man that had to yank the body weight of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift all the way back to the main stage. That must have been like a tug of war kind of situation, like a number of people.
I like to see this scene and like thinking about other situations where we've seen Taylor have to get on that thing. It's like, you know, stress. And then when she's getting on it with Travis, it's like so much fun. And I was like, oh, Tavis Pill. Yum. I'm getting fed my
it's
Tavis.
It's so cute. And they walk out
together.
And then
you together. Can see another instance where the production, you see the production person in the background and they are not amused. They're like, fuck.
No, they're like, for God's sake, let's wrap it up. Yeah. 3.5 hours. Yeah. Speaking of wrapping it up, well, that's all we have for you for this episode. For recap, reminder, patreon.com/riftologist and evolutionofasnake.com for tickets to the Snares tour. And we will see you there. And for 5 and 6, two more left.
Two more left. More to go.